Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function. Your host, Mary Schaefer, is the founder of AP Now, a B2B digital information and learning company focused on all issues related to AP. Stay tuned as Mary and her guests discuss the business intelligence you need to ensure a cost-effective, technologically efficient, fraud-resistant, regulatory-compliant accounts payable function. Without further ado, let's dive right in.
Welcome to episode 31 of the AP Now broadcast. I'm Mary Schaefer from AP Now, and I'm very lucky to have with me today Deborah R. Richardson, an expert in vendor validation, and we're going to talk today about getting ready for year-end. Today's show is brought to you by Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. Welcome, Deborah. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about yourself, but before you do that, I actually wanted to congratulate you on two things. Number one, I believe you were one of the top 50 influencers in accounts payable recently.
Yes, I was, and so were you.
Yes, but I think it's more impressive that you were, because I believe the criteria was quite high in order to make that cut.
Yeah, it's a great honor, and I am especially glad that we have an organization that celebrates AP team members. I think that's really great.
Okay, and then you also were approached by NACHA for an advisory panel?
Yes, I was. I did some work with them on B2B payments in accounts payable, with helping them understand exactly, you know, what goes on into that process. And so, yes, I was asked to be on their ACH advisory board.
That's great. That's great. Congratulations on both of those issues. So, Deborah, before we dive in and we start talking about year-end in accounts payable, perhaps you could tell us a little bit about your background, and that will give the listeners the understanding about why I thought you would be just the perfect person to talk to about this issue.
Sure. So I actually spent 15 years or so really focused in the GL side. I did have some AP and AR, but I really focused on general ledger and financial reporting. So it was budgeting, it was variance analysis, it was financial reporting for, you know, Fortune 500 companies, including General Motors and Aramark. And then at some point, I got introduced to AP. And so I started off with a company where I built the AP department, and then I moved to Verizon, where for my tenure there, I was the AP senior manager over payments. And then the last 3 years, I focused specifically on global vendor maintenance. So I did payments and vendor maintenance, and then I broke off and focused only on global vendor maintenance. And there, I implemented a self-registration portal for 140,000 vendor records across five ERPs. Okay. And that was within the U.S. and also non-U.S. And so what I decided last year to kind of go out on my own, and I help companies and accounts payable team members. And I really focus on vendor maintenance, verification, authentication techniques, internal controls, and best practices to prevent fraud in the vendor master file. We don't want those fraudulent payments coming out.
We don't. And we actually met because of podcasting, didn't we? We have your own podcast, Putting the AP in Happy, and you were nice enough to invite me to be on, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Nice enough. So it was, I saw Mary Schaefer. You were commenting on some social media post, and I was like, oh, it's her. She'll never be on the podcast. And when I reached out to you, you were very nice. And you're like, sure, it sounds like fun. And the rest is history.
The rest is history. And I got a friend out of it. And, you know, I'm always happy to talk, as my husband might tell you. But I'm really happy happy when I get to talk to somebody who is interested in accounts payable, because it's a topic that's near and dear to my heart. And as you might imagine, it's not often that I can get someone to talk to me about it. They roll their eyes like, oh my God, she's at it again.
Yep, but I love it.
Yep, you've seen those eyes roll, huh?
Yeah.
So now we'll go back and get a little serious. So my experiences with year end and the year end close go back a few years to when I was on the corporate side. And I remember at one of the companies in particular where the year end close was a big deal. It was a big deal everywhere, but this was I used to call it a big little company. We were really big. We were billions of dollars, but we had a small staff. And so when the year end would come, the company would have this big calendar listing of tasks, who was responsible for what in the various different departments. And we'd all, have to, take our piece and make sure we got that work done. Has that been your experience with the year end close?
Yes, it has. What I've experienced is, yes, we all had that big calendar, and we actually had it for the year where every month there were tasks that needed to be done for month end close. And so you had dates for all of those. But at year end, extra tasks were added because you needed to make sure that you get, all the invoices in for the end of the year. So we added additional tasks for year end, specifically for that fourth quarter.
Okay. And then everybody kept track of who did what and by what date. And we used to also, after year end, there would be kind of, we'd look over what happened, who met their deadlines, who didn't, did we need to change any deadlines, things like that. Did you do that also?
Yeah, we did. There was analysis of what happened or what didn't happen,
right.
Who made the deadlines. And really one of the biggest things that we would look at is how do we or did we need to change our communication out into the field? Because, one of the extra tasks that would be on the fourth quarter would be, communicating with the stakeholders out there and in other internal team members, mm-hmm. so that they knew when to submit the
right.
invoices and other documents so that they could get processed by year end. And so we would analyze how well that communication series or how that communication process went for the year to do any tweaks for the next year.
Yep. Perfect. Okay, Deborah, we're going to come back. First, we have a word from our sponsor, and then I want to come back and talk specifically about year-end in AP, and I know you've got a lot of insights there, so I'm really anxious or curious listen to what you have to say. But first, a word from our sponsor. AP professionals know invoices are easy to lose, and it takes time to track down approvers while also having to code, log, cross-reference, verify, reconcile, and cut checks, all while staying compliant. Stamply simplifies all that. When invoices enter the system, Stamply's AI, called Billy the Bot, immediately goes to work by proposing GL codes approvers and flagging issues like PO mismatches and potential duplicates. AP simply confirms the information is correct and submits the invoice for approval. Now here's the best part. Stamply fixes the disconnected communications between approvers, AP, and vendors. With Stamply, conversations are centered around each invoice, and anyone can be invited to the conversation, getting to an approval decision up to 5 times faster. Visit stamply.com/APnow. See for yourself how your team can work smarter, not harder. That's stamply.com/APnow. All right, Deborah. Back to accounts payable and year end. Was there a special list of things that you did just for AP at year end that kind of weren't included in the big overall list?
Yeah, and so one of the bigger things that we did at year end, and honestly, we really needed to do that all year round, but you know how it goes.
Yes.
You have the best intentions, but you usually don't get around to it until fourth quarter, and that was cleaning the vendor master file. And so I recommend that it's done monthly or quarterly, but at the very least annually. And so you find yourself in the fourth quarter near year end, and you need to, clean your vendor master file. Again, I recommend you do it monthly or quarterly, but if you're doing it for the first time, that's fine too. You're just going to have a little more work to do. So the first thing I recommend you do is that bulk 10 match, because you want to avoid bad legal name and tax ID combinations when you file for your 1099, 1042 reporting in January. You really don't want to have to deal with the IRS bean notice process or their penalties and interest related to filing incorrect information. And then I also would say that you need to look at your address validations as well, because you do not want to rework those 1099s that you took all that time to send out by having them come back to you because the address is incorrect. And then the next thing too is you always want to make sure that you're checking your exclusion list. So you want to revalidate them with OFAC, and then if you're a government, you want to add the System of Award Management, which is SAM. If you're a government, you want to make sure that you're checking against that exclusion list too, because the vendor may have been fine when you initially set them up, but you want to verify that they haven't gotten on any of those exclusion lists after vendor setup. So that's a big one that you want to do at year end. And then, of course, there are other things that you want to make sure. If you haven't collected the vendor W-9s, which I recommend that you do at vendor setup, but if you haven't done that, you definitely want to do it before year end so that you don't, again, end up filing incorrect tax ID and legal name combinations. And then the same thing with your W-8s. The W-8s expire in 3 years, and they always expire on December 31st of that third year. So you want to make sure that you put time in to collect those as well. And again, with both the W-9s, the collecting the W-8s, and cleaning that vendor master file, I recommend you start earlier in the year. But, I get it. I've been there. You get busy. You have other initiatives. You definitely need to start doing that in quarter four and at year end.
Okay, Deborah. Now, one thing that, we always found, or at least I found when I was in corporate, is things that, problematic invoices, discrepant invoices, and other odds and ends either sat on people's desks in accounts payable or maybe up in purchasing, but all of a sudden, early December, mid-December, all this, pardon my French, crap came out of the woodwork. Did you find that, and how did you handle it?
Yeah, so a couple of different things. One, you get those invoices in, and now you've got to deal with, are they accurate? Are they GL coded correctly? Should they have a PO? If they have a PO, has that three-way match been done? And at year end, definitely, again, they've been on the desk all year round, you're going to get a higher volume of that. And so I always try to manage staff accordingly in the fourth quarter, particularly starting the Monday after Thanksgiving, limiting the time that team members could take voluntary time off. So, try to limit those vacations or the PTO. There are some that just cannot be avoided, but it's best to try to have as much staff working during that period as possible. And so I would adjust my team staffing, and then within, let's say, vendor maintenance. So you've got all of those invoices that are coming through that have been on desk. A lot of those invoices don't have the vendor set up yet. And so we got into a lot of situations where there was an urgent vendor setup that needed to be done so you can get that invoice paid for the end of the year. And you know how that goes. You've got an invoice. The focus is always on getting the invoice paid because it's late. The vendor's probably not happy. And so, all of the processes that I talk about to keep fraud outside of the vendor maintenance file and to not send fraudulent payments, and then to also stay compliant, they want all of that to go out the window. They don't want to collect a W-9, don't want to collect a W-8. And so I would always make sure that I had staff assigned for those urgent vendor setups. And then those would be the folks that would handle them when they would come in. And they would work with the vendor to get the documentation that was required, as opposed to saying you don't need to submit it in. We always need needed to get that information. But there were times that if, you know, it's the day before close and we've got an invoice that is valid and needs to be paid. If we had a tax ID, for example, and we did a 10 match with just the tax ID and the legal name combination, if that matched, we would go ahead and set it up. Again, as long as we did an OFAC check, if all of that matched, we would set it up and then we would save that and collect that information after the fact. But we would always try to protect the company from fraud and then also from being not compliant. So again, I'd have team staffing set up so that we could deal with the increase in invoices coming through and the increase in related vendor setup so that we could pay those invoices.
So did I hear you say that you didn't allow staff to take holiday from Thanksgiving, I guess, till the end of the year?
So that happened at a couple of companies that I was at. There were blackout periods, and for the most part, it started again that Monday after Thanksgiving. And it wasn't that we didn't, you know, employees are entitled to take their time off,
right.
But we would always ask that they refrain from requesting time off during that December period where, you know, we received all that increased activity. And then in addition to that, we would also limit who could take time off at the same time. So
right.
We would only have a certain amount of team members off at the same times, again, so we could have that adequate coverage. And while, you know, emergencies do happen, things happen, people have families, people have lives, we couldn't reject requests. But for the most part, our team members understood and they would only request time off if it was absolutely necessary.
Okay.
And we really appreciated that. Again, team oriented, we made sure that the team members knew that it was coming all year so they weren't, you know, just blindsided by
right.
that. And for the most part, we really didn't have a lot of issues with it.
Okay. All right. You were lucky. Okay. And now, as we approach your end, and as we approach the end of this podcast, do you have any concluding thoughts for folks as we, you know, gear up for year end?
Sure. So having been through quite a few year ends and accounts payable, I would just say the best part of that is just to, or my best advice is just to survive. Breathe and survive. Those vendors will get paid. We know you're dealing with increased invoice processing, increased vendor requests. Just breathe and enjoy the holidays.
Okay. All right, Deborah. Well, I really appreciate you coming today and sharing your considerable expertise. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to the AP Now podcast, and a special thanks to our sponsor, Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. If you like this podcast, please take a moment to rate this episode, review the episode, subscribe to the series, or even better, share it with your community on LinkedIn, Facebook, or wherever, and with your staff and your boss. To be alerted to new episodes, please visit www.ap-now.com and sign up for our free twice-a-week e-zine. It contains tips and news of upcoming AP Now webinars, article postings, and, of course, new podcasts. Look forward to seeing you on another AP Now podcast. Mm-hmm.